Are our hearts clear? We're a really small group. I think I'm going to have to pull the chair up this morning. About nearly 17 years ago, Susie and I joined the fitness center in Pendleton. And sadly, they're closing soon. But I think back over those 17 years, I had periods when I was pretty intensely involved in it and doing quite well, and other times, like now. I remember, though, when we first began there, we went through an initial assessment with one of their physical fitness experts there, and most of it, you didn't need an expert to tell you, you know, exercise more and eat less and eat better. But one little piece of information that they shared with me was my body mass index. That was not a happy memory. Apparently, the human body is made of fat and everything else. Okay, so your body mass index is how much of you is fat. And my body mass index was, well, let's just say I had a lot of work to do, and I still do. But that was a worthwhile experience. And also, something else that helped was that Susie and I thought that if we put some money into this, that is, if we paid money to join, we would actually use it. And while that did not always work, it was always on my mind. I'm spending money. I need to be in there doing this. I thought Therese did an excellent job this morning. She said so much of what we need to hear about this. Paul says that physical training is important. Of course, our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. We should take good care of them. But even more important is spiritual fitness. He talks about speaking of hope, Aaron, this hope of ours, which is essentially the God we believe in, and a life in that God. We can call it eternal life. We can call it abundant life. We can call it shalom, as the ancient Hebrews did. We can talk about it as wholeness and flourishing and just the life that we're meant to have here. And it's all spiritual. That is, it's all about living in relationship with a God who made us and wants us to journey with him and to him. So a couple things. You are what you eat. That is true spiritually as well as physically. And Paul is encouraging Timothy, a young leader in the church, to continue to be nourished by the Word of God. Because we're going to eat something, both in terms of our physical lives and in terms of our spiritual lives. And we have a lot of stuff. I think maybe this was alluded to also a few minutes ago. We have a lot of stuff that somebody's trying to shove down our throat all the time. Turn on your computer, your cell phone, your television, the radio. It comes at us from all different directions, and we are becoming, if you haven't noticed yet, what some people actually call a post-Christian culture. So we need to be aware. Are we thinking we can get our protein by eating five Reese cups in the morning? I've tried that. Throw that in with a couple cups of coffee and you're buzzing like a light bulb all morning, but you're not gaining anything worthwhile from it. We need something besides Twinkies and potato chips, right? That's what our culture gives us, essentially. How about, you know, I remember once I read a story about a woman who was at a party and Jesus was actually there. And she got a few minutes to sit down and talk with him and sort of unburden herself to him and talk about her deep spiritual needs. And he responded with words of love and acceptance and encouragement to live the life that he's offering to her. But it got me thinking, what would I want to have a conversation with Jesus about? And even more importantly, the question I think is, what do I need in the depths of myself to hear Jesus saying to me? You ever think about that? What do you need to hear? Well, you know, we have a way to do that. It's not just a fantasy or a story. Jesus, we friends especially emphasize this, comes to us. The Christ is present there in us and among us, and also speaking through the Scriptures in particular. So the encouragement here is to spend some time there. I thought Therese did a really good job of pointing that out to the kids. We ought to be reading something every day. And I would go a step further, and my favorite mentor in books, Dallas Willard, says we should take time to memorize passages of Scripture, and not even particularly just one or two verses, but he encourages us to memorize, for instance, Colossians 3, 1 through 17, which is a wonderful collection that points to a life. And I've been working on that. It's been hanging in front of my desk for months, and I can get through the first couple paragraphs of it, but I need to get back on it. You are what you eat. So I guess the encouragement is to first become aware. We need to do an assessment of ourselves. What am I eating? What kind of things do I need to cut out of my spiritual diet? And then what am I missing out on? Do I need some spiritual, raw broccoli and baby spinach? Gotta eat it. And you know, that's actually the case. There are things in the Scriptures that bring me deep comfort. I love hearing things like when I'm tired or discouraged, the words of Jesus, come to me, you who are weary and carrying heavy loads, and I'll give you rest. Or if I'm seeking guidance, to hear Jesus say, I'm the light of the world. Those who follow me will never walk in darkness. Then again, sometimes I hear the ones that are more like broccoli or spinach. I've washed your feet, and now I've set an example for you to wash one another's feet. Or when you pray, if you realize that somebody has something against you, first go and make peace with that person and set things right, and then return to offer your gift to me. I remember one time I bought a new translation of the Bible at Barnes & Noble, and as I was leaving, the clerk said, well, enjoy your Bible. I said, well, it depends which parts I'm reading. Because there are some parts of it that fit into both those categories, but often the parts I don't enjoy reading are the very ones that I need to take into my soul, because that's how God... you remember the Good Shepherd, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The shepherd's crook sometimes is there to ward off enemies, but also it's there to kind of get around my neck and draw me back in, keep me on the path. You are what you eat. Secondly, do the resistance training. Every fitness center you go to has a collection of free weights and also some weight machines to do. And that's because for us to be strong and healthy, we must do what they call resistance work. Lifting weights, pushing against a heavier object in order to, as Therese told the kids, to make our muscles stronger. Spiritually, again, we need to make an assessment of ourselves. Where am I weak? And then what kind of training do I need to get stronger? And there are two different kinds of spiritual discipline, and she hit it right on the nose again with the kids. You know, we don't do this to ourselves, but we must put ourselves in a position where God can do something with us. And that's, of course, what the spiritual disciplines are. So we have two kinds. We have a spiritual soul training exercise that strengthen our yes muscles. And then we also have some that strengthen our no muscles. In other words, are there things that we spiritually must begin to say no to? It might involve a fast of some kind, completely giving something up, at least for a while, to sort of free ourselves from that for God. Fasting, solitude, getting away by yourself, even if it's just for a couple hours to recollect and get rid of. How about a fast from the electronic stuff? How much good would that do all of us? And of course, there are times we need to strengthen our yes muscles when it comes to, are we loving other people? Are we out there doing what Jesus showed us to do? And that spiritual discipline probably involves some kind of service. How can I make myself helpful to another person? It might be as simple as picking up the phone and asking somebody, how you doing? How you doing? And then just be there and listen. That's training. That's exercise. Now, when I was coming down here and when I was sitting at home this morning trying to figure out finally how I'm going to put this together, like I said, I had kind of a week, as you know. But I realized something that really troubles me now is, and maybe you can agree with this, the divisiveness in our culture right now over politics especially. We've kind of reached a place where you not only are supposed to disagree with other people, you're supposed to hate them, I guess, because they have a different view. So I thought about, what can I do? What might be a spiritual assessment of me that will help me get myself free of that and back into a healthier life? And it occurred to me, one thing is, stop paying so much time of listening to one particular news outlet, even though I agree with them most of the time, that vilifies the other side. And I don't care which side you're on of this thing, there are those channels that will do both of those things. Now, good luck finding the most or the least biased one you can. You must do that. But also, I think part of it might just be quit listening for a while. To realize these voices have us by the throat. And apparently they profit and benefit from this divisiveness. So you realize you're just maybe a little pawn in a much bigger picture here. So it occurred to me, at least, you can do whatever you think's healthy for you between you and God. But I think for me, it's going to mean disengaging from some of this stuff. Practicing my no muscles there, but then also strengthening my yes muscles by learning to engage with people who might disagree with me in a loving way. Looking for what we agree about. We may have very different ideas about how we should achieve those things, but there's probably a great deal that you are in agreement about in terms of what people need. I'm not saying it's simple. It's rarely black and white. It requires some thought. But how can I engage the humanity of a person that I disagree with and learn to see them as Jesus sees them? Let me tell you a secret. You and I and all the other people we know are much more than a collection of political opinions. I don't know how to end this sermon. Maybe it's time to say I'm done. How about amen?